Hey gearheads, and welcome to GT Garage Talk, a discussion about all things automotive. It is February, and that means Chicago Auto Show is back, full force, ready to go. I just got back. It's been a lot of travel for me already in this very young 2023 year, but it is very good to get on the road, get two events, see new sheet metal for myself with my own eyeballs, sit in vehicles, see what they feel like, how much room they've got, what the textures are like, what the material usage is like. And that's what auto shows are great for. I've already been to the Houston Auto Show. Like I said, I just got back from the Chicago Auto Show. I'm getting ready to go to the North Texas Auto Show. A lot of auto shows going on here. We got to experience the Mazda CX-90 for ourselves. Didn't get to drive it, but we will be driving it soon. So there's a lot of stuff going on. And on this month's episode, I really wanted to dive deeper into, well, auto shows, and most particularly the Chicago Auto Show, because this is the one show that didn't quit. They were the last show before the world shut down in 2020. They kept the momentum going by shifting to a summer show in 2021, which was my first experience at the show itself. They quickly pivoted in a very short turnaround for a quote-unquote normal show in 2022, and now here at 2023, it really felt more like normal, at least from all of my friends and partners in the industry who've been multiple years prior to the world just completely changing all the way around us. And so it was very nice to get back to the Chicago Auto Show to see all the new vehicles. Quite a bit shown off new vehicles there. We had the Subaru, we had VW, we had Toyota. A lot of new stuff being shown off there. And this week, I am not alone in my discussion of the Chicago Auto Show because I've got David Boyd from All Terrain Nation on. We met, either 2020 or 2021 at a Texas Auto Riders event, and we've just kept in contact since. We may have even met online before that, but I know in person we met at an Auto Riders event. And we actually ended up coincidentally being in the same hotel in Chicago just because we wanted to stay attached to the show, but also didn't want to spend an arm and a leg to be right next to the show. And so, yeah, a lot of fun, interesting observations from both of us. And I'm just going to jump into the episode, my conversation with David Boyd from All Terrain Nation. Well, Dave, it is good to have you back. It's been a year since you've officially been on the podcast, right at a year. So good to have you.
Well, I'm glad it's taken a year, man. No, we've both been busy. Yeah, thank you for having me.
It seems to be the going rate that I follow up with people on an annual basis formally on the podcast, and everything else, we touch base throughout the year.
Yeah.
And you and I just got back from a world class, I'm going to go ahead and kiss all the appropriate people here, but we got back from a world class show. We got back from the 2023 Chicago Auto Show. A lot of back to normal type vibes that they keep saying there. But myself, I've only ever been post pandemic. The Chicago Auto Show is the one show that did not quit, because it was the last one before the world shut down. Then they went into weird summer mode, weird for them, summer mode. And then immediately, right, within 6 months, turned out a quote-unquote normal show back at the normal time. So been a lot going on with Chicago. You, on the other hand, your last trip out to the Chicago show was pre-pandemic.
Yeah, so, yeah, 2020. Yeah, it was right before. I remember, not to get too pandemic-y, but it was right. There was one case in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Kelly's friends here were freaking out. You're going up there where that is? I mean, you got to be careful, this and that. And yeah, we had a blast. It was the full show. We kind of got the last one till I think this year of the full-blown show. And, you know, we learned a lot from that. That was our first out-of-town coverage of an auto show, so we learned quite a bit. and then kind of got it taken away from us.
Yeah, just the rug completely pulled out from underneath you. Yeah, for me, like, I was just getting started at that point in time. In March of 2020, we were really just doing the podcast thing. There was no video element to anything that we did, but that was always the goal. And then to start seeing everything shut down around us, we even had to start figuring out how to record remotely because we were doing weekly podcasts at the time, and it got crazy. I don't miss those days much at all.
No, I don't miss those at all. So, well, the funny thing was, that was at the time I was covering just Nissan. Yeah. So I went out. That was my last basically hurrah of just covering Nissan before I went all in with all autos. So, our eyes were wide open. I mean, I'd covered a bunch of Nissan events. I'd been sent out to cover Nissan events, and like getting to see how some of the other brands treat you at an auto show was like very eye opening, and it was fun.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. So it's funny that you bring that up because I over the past two big shows, quote unquote, that I've been to, the Chicago and then the State Fair of Texas, which many automakers decided to roll out new trucks at that event. Ford was showing off the new Super Duty for the first time to the public there. Chevy showed off the new 24 heavy duty trucks there. So a lot of stuff going on there. Anyway, I met up with General Motors Jeff, who is still firmly encamped in one brand or family of brands.
Yes.
And we had a lot of the same discussion. And he kept looking at me. He's like, dude, I don't know how you do it. How do you keep it all straight? There's just so much to learn. And I pulled up my phone. I was like, this is how. This is my cheat sheet. These are all my notes to make sure I've got it straight. Because for me, I was hopping in a Subaru Impreza, a Subaru Crosstrek. Then I went and hopped in probably something Ram or Jeep related. And then probably something General Motors. Like keeping your brain straight at these events is something that you just have to figure out the best way to do it, right?
Well, for me, I mean, I have a strong Nissan background, and I've been covering that brand for about 15 years. So that's the easy part of it. So you go, okay, I know what if they have something new. I kind of know the brand. But what I've done is I've kind of just selected a couple other brands, and I just slowly add to my repertoire of what I know. Now, I'll never probably know or understand some of these brands like I know Nissan because they're here. I'm in Middle Tennessee. They're entrenched here in Middle Tennessee. Right. And so I'm just like, you know, we've done really well with the Ford Bronco. For some reason, we ordered one like everybody. And just that led me into talking more about Ford. We got a new Ranger coming up that I'm really, really excited about. But then we've got the new Chevrolets and the GM twins that are out now, which I'm excited about too. So for me, I'm just taking it one step at a time. I kind of know the Ford brand now a little bit. So now I'm kind of moving into GM and just going that way. General Motors Jeff said, there's no way I could just go, now I know everything.
Yeah. And I don't pretend to. Like, I've been called out in a few of my videos. Apparently, so I do my best. Like I said, I have a cheat sheet. And if I've missed some news, I want to go and at least catch myself up on stuff. So Ford Mustang, case in point. Houston Auto Show, I did a quick video. They had a 5.0 sitting there on the floor. And I was like, you know, I've seen this at multiple shows, but I haven't really covered it. I asked for permission to get up there with it. They actually let me open the hood, which come to find out it was one of the first times anyone had opened the hood on one. But I couldn't get in. I couldn't do my luggage test. I couldn't do my typical stuff. And multiple times in that video, I brought up the fact that they hadn't announced power numbers. But apparently, even though I could find it nowhere on their media site, they released some weird, like, Christmas video commercial, mini movie, something that had all the power numbers in it. And I kept getting sent links to that in comments. And I was like, I don't have time to watch that. I will take your word for it. But it's weird that they would do it that way and not update their media site information. So, you know, when you are going from brand to brand to brand and car to truck to this to that to that, it's a lot. And I've got more respect for the people that I used to kind of go, how'd you get that wrong? prior to jumping in the business myself.
Oh yeah. And what people don't realize, especially when you're trying to do camera work, you know, a lot of times we're one or two people operations. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to think on the fly in many cases, be interesting, hold a camera in your face, get it in the background, get the vehicle in the background. You're liable to make mistakes. I hear
and
the
keep
big boys,
people out TFL, of your shots.
Yeah. And I hear TFL and some of those guys, you know, you hear little things, they miss things, and it's just part of it. And it's kind of that guerrilla journalism that you have to do of just get in, hit it, and get out. Yeah. And so, no, I get those comments from time to time. It's like, well, you know, you got that wrong. And I'm like, hey, man, come do this.
Yeah.
Because this is a 40 to 50 hour a week job easily.
Yeah. And it's your second job. It's your side hustle. So, yeah.
Yeah.
More props to you on that because, yes, over the past 3 years that I've really been in the trenches here, I'm learning more and more. I was like, you know, you just film some stuff, you put it on the internet. No. if only.
Yeah, that's the fun part of filming it, and then it's like now you got to become an SEO machine and just figure out how, and for you, you've had such a big boost on Facebook, like you somehow just are destroying people that I know, bigger channels, like you're just outdoing them, and I'm like, props to you on that, because like you're saying, this is like I split my job, my real job and this job, about 50-50 anymore. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine, like, you work it, dude. You're finding new ways to hustle, and I commend you for it.
Well, when I made the jump, like, that was the conversation between my wife and I was like, okay, whole income going away, I'm gonna hustle and make it work to fill in the void. And God bless her, as you and I sit here to record this, I've drug her in, I would say kicking and screaming, but she is in a 5-star ski resort in Bozeman, Montana as we speak, being pampered as she's getting ready to learn some winter driving techniques. So a lot of really cool stuff coming here. Kudos to Infinity and her other channel that she writes for, A Girl's Guide to Cars, for making all that happen for her. But we're kind of drifting away. I do want to get back to the Chicago Auto Show, because you and I were both there. Kelly was there with you. And we covered a lot of the same stuff. We both scoured the entire show floor. We were at some of the same press events. And I'm kind of curious to you, what were some I don't know if we want to start winners or losers, but what were some standouts for you?
Oh, gosh. Standouts. Ram, Stellantis brand, they always have a great display. Mm-hmm. They always do. From full-size trucks that are actively driving in the, they're doing all the articulation and stuff with their big 2500s in there. Of course,
they're lifting walls.
Camp Jeep, whatever they call it. They have this massive platform they do. And then they had a couple great press conferences. I got to go to the Jeep, the 20th anniversary of the Jeep Rubicon. That was fun. We met up with you there, Mercedes was there, and a few others. That was a pretty good press conference. It wasn't anything like, oh, wow.
Right.
You know, this was really like going to break the internet. But
unless you have $110,000 to buy that AEV Jeep.
But for Jeep enthusiasts, you know, they love the Rubicon brand. They know what it is. Jeep sort of perfected that, the best off-road platform, and others have copied it. You know, Bronco definitely leans into what Jeep does. So that, you know, it was nice to pay kind of a tribute to the 20th anniversary of that. And then they brought out what do they call the guys that developed the Rubicon?
The Lunatic Fringe.
Yes. And they brought two of those guys out in an original, I guess it was a TJ or it was a LJ
20
that they brought out.
03. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that was really cool. Let's see, Nissan. I have to say Nissan surprised me this year. In the past, they've had such a smaller display, but they're really coming out with Frontier. And of course, Aria, they had Arias everywhere with the new electric SUV, but Subaru probably was the top. Yeah. I'm not a big Subaru. I don't chase them to cover them because Subaru just is in their own little world.
Yes.
But their displays there, that's probably the best display I've ever seen in an auto show. That digital floor and everything. We saw you there. You were covering something.
Completely immersive to the point where you will get motion sick if you're not careful on that booth. But yes. Yeah, so Subaru, they brought, I don't want to say they unveiled because they unveiled it in LA last November, but they brought the new Impreza, which is hatchback only, CVT only, but they unveiled basically the taller, shorter hatchback twin in the Crosstrek, the 24 Crosstrek there. Mm-hmm. And they touted how that is one of, if not their best selling models, because it is one of their most affordable, but still very fun and capable. Minor tweaks here and there, but I think the big news for them is they're bringing production to the States of their most sought after models. So that'll be really interesting to see how that shifts their production, their availability to get products out to customers, and how that changes their sales mix. I know I've got a few Subaru faithful that are calling them lame and a cop out for not really doing a whole lot different. But I did have to remind them how small Subaru really is. It's Subaru and Mazda are really the small-time players in a really, really big field. Stellantis is huge. Even Nissan with their merger alliance with Renault. Like, if you're not a massive player, it's a really tough game to be in. And I don't know how Mazda and Subaru are still kind of... I know they're kind of clinging on Toyota's coattails, both of them, but it's interesting that we still have these small-time players in such a big market. Well,
and speaking of a kind of a small-time player, even though they're part of a bigger brand, the GMC brand, I was disappointed with their booth. I mean, yes, they brought out the new Canyon, which looked great. I was happy to see that. I was kind of hoping we would have got a little bit more. Even Chevrolet, they just brought out two of the Colorado, the Trail Boss and the ZR1 or Z71. And I kind of thought, man, you could, that truck's launching now. Like it's in production. They're ready to get that out. And I was like, I was excited to see Trail Boss because that's, I think that's going to be the bread and butter for that truck. But GMC, what, they only had the AT4 in the Canyon. And then even the Hummer, they brought it out in the new X3 platform, which is supposed to be what, just a little bit cheaper platform, more affordable version. But no, the booth was just like, you know, it was, I thought the Buick Wildcat was a better looking display than what the Hummer was on.
And the Buick wasn't even going to stay there for the whole show. It left after the weekend because it's a it's a one of one and it had other appointments. So the fact that we were even able to see it was a big plus for us. But
man, I wish Buick would just build that.
Buick's
a brand that's lost. And my parents always had Buicks. That was my dad's car all through the 60s and 70s was Buicks. And my first car was a little Buick Skyhawk. And to see that brand sort of kind of, you know, they want to copy BMW for a while or they want to copy somebody else with it. But in China, you know, China, that's the Cadillac of cars is Buick. And that's probably the only saving grace for Buick in the United States. But when you see that Wildcat, I mean, just go for it. They have nothing to lose. Just go for it. Obviously, make it seating would have to be a little bit safer, but leave that concept alone and make a beautiful car.
Well, the silver lining is they say that is the new design direction. It kills me when brands show off these concept cars with no intention of making cars. It's like, okay, you know you're only going to make SUVs. You told us you're only going to make SUVs. And then you show us this. Why? Why are you just making us mad like that?
That's a revolutionary idea, what you're talking about there. And, you know, Ram kind of, I won't say messed us over a little bit, but they showed that revolution. And then Sunday, after all the press leaves, they're like, oh, well, here's the real truck. And you're like, thanks, man.
Bait and switch. No.
Right. But you covered that, right? Because I did a little walk around, but it's probably nothing I'm going to release as a video.
Yes. So that video, as you and I sit here to record this, released today. And I had to do a little editor's note live from like me editing it. I'm like, well, dang, they ruined it. So when we were there for the press events, I actually missed the press conference. But I was told really they weren't going to drop any major news on it. So I was busy filming my entire walk around to the show floor. So I did walk by the press conference as it's happening. And I shot all my stuff. Like, that was the first vehicle I went to, the first thing I covered, shot everything off my memory from what I knew from studying the vehicle and all the concept information. And yeah, before I even got to release the video at the big game, when we have to call it, they had their commercial, which I thought was hilarious. I'm seeing some people thought it was tacky and not for family consumption.
That's a Super Bowl commercial, though. They're going to be tacky and fun.
Yeah. And they show off the real thing, which follows in the F-150 Lightning's footsteps. It's using heavy influence and many parts from the gas-powered version, but also modified for electric use. So there's still a frunk. There's still... We haven't been told range. The commercial alluded to something to alleviate range anxiety, which we've all been told a range extender, so some sort of gas-powered something. How big it is, where they hide it, I don't know. So there's still a lot of details to come out there. But I did notice on social media, you kind of put your money where your mouth is on that one, huh?
I did. So I have two reservations for EV trucks right now. I have a Silverado and the new the Rev. And I'm going to end up dropping my Silverado because, honestly, because of the pandemic and stuff, I didn't get to cover the Silverado in person much. Mm-hmm. And I know it'd been around to some of the shows. But after seeing that thing, this was my first time seeing it in person. And I've had a reservation on that truck for well over a year. I can see why you were talking that why Ram is heavily using their current stable, because that's a brand new platform for GM. Just completely everything about it. You know, what is it? Their old, what do they call the platform? The Ultimatium or
Ultium.
Ultium. That's it. And, I understand. Okay. We got the skateboard of it. Now we just need to fix the body of it. But GM is screwing around with getting that truck out. And I seen it in person and it's massive. I thought the Hummer was massive. And I thought, well, this will be kind of a scaled down version. Not at all. It's just as wide. Yeah. And I'll be honest, I covered the Revolution when, you know, I think you did as well. You did a video on that. And I was like, well, that's kind of neat, but there's no way in hell they're building that thing at all. There's just, there's no way they're coming close to that. And seeing it in person, it's like a school bus to me. It's so long. It's narrow. And I like the idea of it, but I've never seen so much like flip flop on that audience. Like, people love that that Revolution concept, and when they seen the final version, they're like, "Well, where did all the concept go?"
Yeah.
And to me, concepts, as when I was a kid, concepts were never going to look like what you were going to get at the end of the day. And you know, the Ram CEO said that. He said, "I told them." I think he did a with Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk. He did a nice interview inside the cab of that thing, and he said, "I just told them to go for it. Just wow me. Just." Let's go crazy. Let's build something fun. So there was no way that truck was ever going to get built. But I am excited for the Rev because I think they were smart. I think they waited it out a little bit. And we know that Stellantis, they are behind on EV tech, whether they would ever admit that or not. At one point during that merger, they were trying to include Nissan in that merger because they wanted Nissan's EV tech. They needed it. They were so far behind. And I think it's going to work out for them because I think the F-150 for me, I know you've done some time in that F-150, the range, it's just not there yet. Not as a pickup truck. And, you know, that's what they're intended to be is pickup trucks. So I threw $100 down to be a part of what Ram is calling their club, whatever it is. Will I ever see it? Who knows?
Yeah.
Cause I know the GM, who knows what I'm going to see it. So,
yeah. So that is another recurring thing from a lot of my comments, especially on my entire show floor walkthrough, is people are tired of EVs. And I keep reminding people there were several gas-only vehicles that were unveiled there. Sure, in the grand scheme of things, they weren't all new groundbreaking, like VW with the Atlas and Atlas Cross Sport. It was basically a new face and new interior. We already touched on the Impreza and the Crosstrek, or for the average consumer, not much different over the outgoing model. And then you had the hybridified, we'll say, Grand Highlander, which is an all-new vehicle. It's built on an existing platform, but it's an all-new vehicle. And I would say the big story for me was not EVs, was not gas, was not hybrid. It was the story of the big three-row SUV, because you do have that Grand Highlander. You do have the Atlas being refreshed. Mazda wasn't at the show, but they just showed off their new CX-90. Like, the new Pilot was there. And, I mean, big three-row SUVs, that segment's getting kind of cutthroat all of a sudden.
Well, even with its within the own their own brands, like Toyota, how many more three-row SUVs do they need? And I like all of them. It's Toyota, so you know it's going to run 200,000 miles and be a great vehicle. But it's like now these brands have nowhere else to undercut except themselves. They're like, right. Now the design departments are fighting with each other about who's going to be the dominant design.
And even some of the talking points on the Grand Highlander were, it's got more room than a Sequoia. And I'm like, so who's a Sequoia for? Like,
right? Huh? It's like, well, do you think they're trying to really make the Sequoia more of a lifestyle vehicle? They're trying to maybe push that, because the TRD Pro is the one they push.
And then there's the Capstone, which is, you know, the Hilux Denali fighter, which Denali's gone so far upscale now, it's like, good luck chasing Denali. But I don't know. They and Nissan are so far behind Ford and Chevy in that big three-row truck-based SUV segment. Like, I'm almost surprised we got a new Sequoia, to be honest. You can't not play in the space when you've had the Sequoia around for so long. But at the same point in time, it was very surprising. It was very surprising. They're all hybrids. It was very surprising. The third row space, because that was one thing that General Motors really leaned in to, is that they stretched the wheelbase. They put a independent rear suspension in the back finally for the first time ever, which dropped the floor. So I've tested the big three row General Motors SUVs, and you don't have to get the long wheelbase version now to comfortably seat 8 people. And there's plenty of storage back in the back with over 25 cubic feet. So like they're huge. But they finally made it all the right sizes in all the right places. So,
right.
But yeah, Toyota's in a weird place for me. And the Grand Highlander was an odd one for me. I was excited when they teased it. I was curious as to what it would be. It has all the same powertrains from the Crown Premium Avalon replacement. And it has the looks of a sophisticated 4Runner, I think is how I've reconciled it in my brain.
Yeah, I kind of feel like with that, maybe they're trying to play in Jeep's segment with the Grand or the Cherokee and all that now. Like that may or the
Grand Cherokee. The Grand Cherokee.
Yeah, I think that maybe that's their playground for that. You know, because the Grand Cherokee for a long time was a nice off-road vehicle, and Jeep was smartly, they were like, hey, let's go high end with that. We got a Wrangler. People want it. They want off-road here. We still make them an option, but I think maybe Toyota's playing in that category of a high end, you know, city capable, we'll call it. Like, because I could see the Grand in Chicago going around town. Absolutely. There. Like, that's a vehicle destined to be in a big town.
That will be one of the new high-end rideshare vehicles, because the Platinum trim is nice, very luxurious. And again, it's very roomy, and it's a Toyota, so you can put miles on it and not have to worry about it. So you're going to see those popping up on Uber and Lyft. It's like, all right, we need seating for 5 people, Grand Highlander. You're going to see a bunch of those.
That reminds me of my Uber leaving, heading to the airport from Chicago. It was a Prius that looked like it had been through war. Parts were hanging off on the inside. Yikes. It was dirty. The guy was very friendly, and he had 5 stars and stuff. But that poor Prius was hanging on to by a thread, man. It was ready to be retired.
But it's Toyota, so it keeps on trucking. And he is probably like betting on it outlasting him, even in its current condition.
Yeah. Definitely.
So, touching on Grand Highlander, I have to bring it up, and you're the first person I'm really talking to about this in any capacity whatsoever. Are we seeing the death of the V6? Like, VW finally killed off the VR6, is gone from American shores. They replaced the VR6 in the Atlas and Cross Sport with a new 2-liter turbo 4. The Highlander, the normal Highlander, last year ditched its 6-cylinder for turbo 4 powertrains. Grand Highlander, like we mentioned, like the Crown, also has hybrid turbo 4s and all that stuff. Toyota is out on the V6. I half expect the new Tacoma to only come with a turbo 4. And the only
way, I don't think that's a secret.
Yeah, and then the only way you can get a V6 from Toyota would be to go to their big vehicles that you would expect a V8 in. So I don't know. It's just very strange to me. All the vehicles, all the lines, killing off 6-cylinder engines. I do know Stellantis is still playing with their straight six. They killed the V8 for a straight six, but
right. The development of this stuff takes years. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, we're at the tail end of all the excitement of EVs and just, you know, all this big green push, which I'm not against by any means.
Right.
But I think like you were saying, everybody was saying, oh man, it's boring. Yeah. EVs are boring. I think now some of these companies that pivoted too quickly, like I will say General Motors, is because mm-hmm. they're as a brand, they don't know where they want to be. Do they want to still do a gas powered engine? Do they want to do, you know, EVs? Like there's like two different brands being pulled apart. They don't know where they want to be. Yeah. But I think maybe brands like Nissan, that's where they went out, because Nissan put a V6 in the new Frontier. It's a newly developed engine mm-hmm. for them. It's not turbo. It's just a, you know, natural aspirated engine. You know, maybe that's where some of these littler brands that can't pivot as fast, maybe that's where they went out and they start winning customers with, because I want the most power always. Yep. In any vehicle I get, I want as much as I can afford. So when I went Bronco, I didn't do the 2.3, I did the 2.7. Now, would I have loved a V8? Of course, if they would have done a V8, that's where I would have been. But I think Toyota, though, is smart with, they've really seemed to master the art of putting a turbo with a hybrid,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
where a lot of companies just want to either do hybrids or they just want to do turbos. With the new Tundra, they really seem, you know, people are confused by it because it's not a hybrid in the natural sense of like, oh, fuel economy.
Right.
No, it's to give torque and power. And I think with the new Tacoma, I think they'll do a little turbo 4. It'll be a very small displacement engine, but they'll back it up with the hybrid. So you'll still get 300-400 horsepower. Wow, people. And maybe that's where it all wins out. But at the end of the day, you keep losing cylinders because of emissions.
Yeah.
And that's the only way to keep emissions keep coming down, is keep losing cylinders. So
if I'm in Nissan PR, to your point, I'm watching the trends very diligently when these vehicles start selling, and I'm like, okay, do we start pushing that we're the only V6 in the game anymore? Do we really play that one up? Because the General Motors twins, their top output has 310 horsepower and 430 pound-feet of torque from mm-hmm. a turbo 4. Tacoma, we're all but certain, is going to have some version of a hybrid turbo 4. And then Ram's not there yet. We don't know what they're doing. But yeah, Nissan could be like, hey, you want a V6? You want just a good old-fashioned truck? We got you.
Yeah.
We got you.
Well, the Frontier, you know, and the Frontier is that good old-fashioned truck. It mm-hmm. doesn't have all the crawl control features, which I kind of beat them a little bit on that. I was like, why are they not adjusting to what the market's doing? But now, if you think about it, man, I know a lot of my viewers have talked about that. Mm-hmm. They like that it's just a, hey, I get in it. If I need to put it in four-wheel drive, I turn the little knob, it goes into four-wheel drive. It does what I need to. And, you know, Nissan's actually getting pretty good fuel economy with that engine as well, yeah, on the Frontier. I mean, it's not never going to be 40 miles per gallon, right, but it's in the 20s.
Yeah. We put it head-to-head in 21 at a Texas Auto Writers event against, I know, unfair competition, but a Jeep Gladiator Texas Trail, which I don't know what Jeep was doing with that Texas Trail. It doesn't have a locker. It doesn't have disconnectable sway. It doesn't have all the fun stuff that you would expect, but it's still Jeep. And it cost just so much more than the Frontier because it's a Jeep. And yeah. I came away just in love with that little Frontier. The thing I kept saying about it was it's light, fun, tossable, and didn't take itself too seriously. It was a good little truck. And 90% of the people shopping in that market, that's what they want, a good little truck. And
affordable.
Yeah.
And you know, that's an American-made truck. I know a lot of people bash imports or whatever. Mm-hmm. That truck's made in Canton, Mississippi. The motor's made here in Tennessee. Yeah. You know, there's little odds and ends that they import for that, but you know, that's an American made truck. So there's I used to build those here in Middle Tennessee when they were built at the Smyrna plant. A lot of pride goes into those vehicles. Mm-hmm. And, I kind of like the underdog a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping for Nissan. They had a really good display too at the auto show. Mm-hmm. They had some lifted Frontiers there, which was kind of neat. Cause Nismo is bringing out all kinds of parts now for the Frontier, which was nice. I was happy to see that Nissan's kind of grabbed onto the Frontier a little bit, because for so long, overlanding, that's been huge. Yeah. There's a Toyota's really took off with overlanding, people wanting their vehicles for that. And Nissan kept putting all their development money into an old 370Z. Yeah. All their Nismo money went to develop something that they were selling, I think, like 2,000 a month or something. Yeah. And the Frontier's over here selling 7,000 to 10,000. I'm like, there's your bread and butter. But like you were saying, maybe their PR, but their PR is a little iffy at times, because during the pandemic, they had all these Titans on the lot when Ford or nobody could get, they couldn't build any vehicles. Nissan had them built ready to go, and they didn't play off of that. They didn't go, hey,
we got
big guys can't get you a truck, but we have one right here. Yeah. Give us a shot.
Yeah.
Because that truck, when a lot of people, you know, you drive that vehicle, it's a nice vehicle, man. Mm-hmm. But sadly, did you notice it wasn't at the show?
It was not. It wasn't at Houston. I haven't seen it pretty much anywhere. It's,
womp womps. By spring, you won't hear no more about that truck, yeah, I'm just afraid.
A slow fade off into the sunset. And, you know, there are a lot of ties here to East Texas with that truck. We've been told mm-hmm. that our Nissan dealer here, Pelche Nissan, is highly, highly, highly responsible for pushing Nissan into the full-size game. And I'm sad to see that one go.
Tim Dahl out in Utah was selling a ton of Titans for a while too.
So
no, it's a great truck. The another one out there that, you know, I said GMC, Chevrolet had a fairly nice booth. Mm-hmm.
Again, a big EV section.
I don't know. Yeah, past that though, I wasn't really wowed by. I will say there was a lot of talk at the show of a lot of people that I knew there that were like, the show's back. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were commenting, finally, the show is back. You know, right. I didn't go for last year because they had weird mask mandates. Mm-hmm. And then if you wanted to do anything with a vehicle, you were supposed to email the manufacturers. And I was like, I like to walk around the show and what inspires me to want to talk about.
Right.
That's kind of how I like to do it. And so I was like, nah, but I was happy that the Chicago Auto Show being back, because, you know, it used to be the Detroit show was in January, and that was the kind of the Super Bowl that right. kicked off everything. That was the Daytona 500 of auto shows. Yeah. And so now it's kind of Chicago's the mm-hmm. kickoff. And that's a good sign. There was a lot of journalists there.
Yes, there were. And even day two, when most of the people kind of thinned out, TFL stayed for day two, and they were still covering some stuff while they were out there. And there was a good showing. I am very proud of Jen and the team over there and all that they've done. I know they have worked so hard over the past 3 years being the one show that didn't quit. And so mm-hmm. huge kudos. I've had Jen on the show before, way back in 2020, I believe, talking up the summer, or 2021, talking up the summer show. And she's taking the reins over there now, and just a great team over there doing a lot of work to make sure that it keeps up. There's a lot of indoor experiences there. The massive EV track, that was the only way you could see a Cadillac, was they had a few over mm-hmm. at the EV test track. But even brands had their own test tracks. You mentioned Ram. They were lifting walls and doing all kinds of stuff with their heavy duties. Camp Jeep, the Bronco had its own track. Lightning and Mach-E had their own track. Hyundai had their own track. So there was a lot of opportunity for you to get in a vehicle and experience them and see what they're like there. But I kind of want to close out with the big news. You joked about there only being two Colorados at the show. You and I both know exactly why there were only two at the show. It's because all the rest are in California right now for all the other journalists.
San Diego right now.
Yeah. For all the other journalists who are actually driving them as we speak and getting first drive impressions of them. But you and I both saw Z71, Colorado, Trail Boss, Colorado, and the AT4. Not the AT4X, but the AT4 Canyon there. What are your thoughts on the GM twins and the way their market strategy? I know you kind of already hinted that you think the Trail Boss is going to be their bread and butter.
Yeah, I think, obviously they do well with the little LTs. They'll sell a ton of those to people that don't, they sort of need a truck. They'll sell a lot of those to people that can't get a Maverick.
Yeah.
Is I think kind of their target for that. And I think GM eventually will have something to battle Maverick, but I think the entry level, the price point of that, yeah, Maverick, you can get cheaper, but if you look at even the LTs, the interiors of those are pretty nice. You're getting a pretty modern, a big screen infotainment center in those now. Seating in those vehicles, that was the big thing for me, because you can see these online and fall in love with them or whatever, but till you sit in one of those trucks, you don't know how it's going to feel. And it feels like a little bit more modern version of the current Colorado. I've always felt like the Colorado felt like a car. The interior was very nice, but the seating position just felt almost kind of tight, like a car does. The console always, to me, a little bit wider than it should have been. They drive great. So I will be curious what the little four cylinder is going to drive like. Will it be spunky? You know, I know 310 horsepower, but turbos, that's pretty easy. But what RPM is it? Is it going to, you know, is it going to be like, yeah, we hit 310 horsepower at 7,000 RPM? Like, where you'll
wind that thing
I know the numbers are out on that, but I'll be curious, like, will you be able to get out of a danger zone if need be in that little truck? I think between the two, I think the GMC obviously was a lot nicer, but that's the little Cadillac now of midsize pickup trucks. Like that thing was really nice, but there's a hefty price tag for that truck.
Yes.
The Z71, Kelly fell in love with the Z71. She loves the Trail Boss and the Silverado, but it did feel kind of entry level to me.
The Trail Boss all Colorado.
The dash completely just all plastic. It looks great, don't get me wrong. But they had some odd touches. Like Kelly did not like the piano finish around the shifter. It was like real glossy and everything else is just flat. It didn't fit that truck to me. Where when I seen that same finish in the GMC, I thought, wow, this all is coming together. It feels nice. I don't know, man. I'm happy to see that Chevrolet is offering more options. You know, and for the guy that wants his little off-road looking truck that's probably never going to use it, the Trail Boss is going to be a hit for them.
Yeah. The thing for me that I walked away from that show and getting in essentially all three of them within a very short amount of time and two of them back to back with one another, the thing that stands out for me as a longtime General Motors fanboy is they are finally getting to a point that there is brand distinction. I touched on it a little bit earlier. Denali has become its thing. Like, if you've been in a modern Denali, especially that ultimate package that they have, the stitching is insane in those. The types of materials, the use of materials, they have the topography of Denali National Park on the leather and on the wood. Like, the attention to detail is there. So GMC has raised the bar on their vehicles, and we're seeing that now trickle down to the midsize segment where, like you said, the Colorado Trail Boss really is, it's a work truck that they put a lift on and some off-road tech and said, all right, there you go. Meanwhile, every single GMC Canyon gets the highest output 2.7. So you can only get that in the ZR2 Colorado. Every Canyon gets at least a 2-inch lift, if not a 3-inch lift, if you get the AT4X. Every Canyon gets a ultra-wide track, so even the metal fenders stick out further on the Canyon, and the stance of the Canyon, hands down, is the best looking in the midsize segment now. They got that stance on point.
The only bummer I can say about both brands is their tire selection.
Yeah.
They just, even for the aggressive looking Trail Boss, it's the worst looking tire. I know why they do it. And I mentioned this in a video. It's all about that first 90 days surveys that they send out. They can't have a vehicle that people go road noise. It's the vehicle. No, it's probably the aggressive tire you put under it. So they would rather, they know their audience, let those people go put whatever tire they want on it from it. But we have to give them something that looks like it. But that was when I see it, and that's been my complaint for General Motors with their trucks is, you know, in the full size, they're stuck on these little 33s. They design this vehicle that looks like it should have a big 35-inch tire on it. And then it's like they have these little training wheels on it. And a little bit with the Colorados. But, no, I think design-wise, home runs, both of them. I love both the way they look. I like the fact that they didn't in the Colorado, they stamped Chevrolet in the tailgate. Colorado, no, we're going completely opposite. And I had a viewer kind of like, I don't like how they did it with GMC, that big GMC. And I was like, that audience wants gaudy.
Yeah.
If you're paying $55,000-$60,000 for a midsize truck, you want to feel like you paid that for it. So they want these big, you know, you don't get into the Yukons and stuff without it being like in your face. So I was happy to see like they did take that to the next level with the GMCs.
Yeah. And the interior on that GMC, class exclusive head-up display. You mentioned they've all got the big infotainment screens, but GMC had the big had a digital gauge cluster in that head-up display. Leather everywhere, looked really nice. Just a very upscale interior on that one. You know, you keep bringing up the full-size trucks. I haven't even told you what showed up in my driveway today. I've got a Silverado Trail Boss with the Duramax diesel in it, and I'm looking forward to getting it dirty this weekend. So
nice, nice. Well, hopefully the weather treats you right there where you can get a little bit dirty.
Yes, that is the plan. It's that Duramax with the 10-speed. I'm quite impressed just in my time driving it around town. That's a good powertrain combo. I've driven the Power Boost Ford and that 10-speed and the hybrid system in that. The 1-2 shift was kicky in the pants, noticeable like every single time. The Tundra, a little bit of the same. That 1-2 shift was a little weird, but man, the 10-speed with this Duramax, it's a good, smooth power delivery, and it's been a lot of fun. I can't wait to test it out in the dirt.
Well, I'll definitely be waiting for your video on that. Chevrolet, me and Chevrolet are not buddies right now, so they're not sending anything my way. So I'll be definitely excited to see your video.
Yeah, that'll be Tuesday the 21st for anyone that's interested. I'm looking at my production schedule right now in front of me, so very much looking forward to a weekend of fun in that. But taking a step out of the car show, I know you've got reservations on a couple EV trucks. We're both kind of in that camp where, yeah, EV's fun and interesting, but you and I think both are still good old petrol heads. Like we want gas, we want loud V8s and stuff. What is something that you want to see unveiled, revealed over the next, we'll say, 1 year that maybe is being teased at, maybe is a complete shot in the dark?
Oh, wow. That's a tough one, Corey. I would like to see Ford's next GT.
Okay.
What do they do? Because that's been a popular and a moneymaker for them. And I think this is the last year for the current version of the GT. Yeah. So I'm kind of excited to see where they take that. Will it be a hybrid You know, Nissan has the new GTR that they keep. Well, I won't say the new. They keep teasing us with the little upgrades to this old dinosaur of GTR. So something fun's coming with them sports car wise. You know, GM just said they're investing a ton of money in the next V8. So I don't know, man. I want to say it's a, you know, it's, we get nervous because of all this EV talk as someone who loves gas powered vehicles, but we're still living in kind of a golden age of that. You know, Ram has that new Hurricane engine that's just amazing. That motor, we when we were in Texas testing that in their Grand Wagoneer, that thing would get up and go in a heavy SUV.
Yes.
So I'm excited to see, you know, there's rumors going around that the Gladiator might get a 392 for a couple years. If that were to happen, that might be a real fun vehicle. you know, because it maybe it's Ram's last hurrah of like pushing their V8s out to the brands. But I even if they get the Hurricane in that thing, I think that's going to be a fun. And we know those, the Wrangler and Gladiator are about due for mid-cycle refreshes. So maybe that'll be fun.
I'm loving all these little rivalries and battles we're seeing throughout the industry with Jeep and Bronco, you know, Mustang Camaro. That's one that I believe is shifting to EVs, but in the lack of a Camaro, I didn't like what the Mustang became, so Mustang kind of needs Camaro. But to your point, GM kind of is a house divided right now. I am very excited. When I read the press release that they were reinvesting in V8s, my jaw hit the floor. I said, am I reading this right? Is this for real? What day is it? Are we April 1st? What's going on here? So that was a happy day.
Do you think that's cheaper for them to do, since they know how to build V8s, to kind of refresh their V8 lineup? Then they're making this big push for EV across the board, and they can't even get Hummers out. You know, they're 20, maybe 20 a day, something like that. And then you take that product off road and it just breaks down. You know, TFL had issues with it. The Stradman on YouTube, he literally did nothing but go down a hill with his, and suddenly it went into limp mode. Do you think maybe they went too wide and, you know, because how many EVs have we seen General Motors now keep pushing? Here's the 24 of this, here's the 24 of that. And you're like, there's no way you guys have enough batteries to spread across the whole place. So,
yeah. So the two current EVs you can, in theory, buy and have as a consumer from General Motors right now are the Hummer EV, the most expensive version, and the Cadillac Lyriq, which itself is not cheap. And both of those are struggling to actually get to customers, to the point where they're saying, I believe my local dealer was saying 2025 on the Cadillac Lyriq. And I would assume the same with any other Ultium anything. It's going to be 25 before you get it. You know, they teased the Equinox EV, which was at the show. They're like, it's supposed to be around 30,000. And that's like the only detail we have on it. We couldn't get into it at the show. Couldn't really do anything with it except look at it. Same with
F-150 was supposed to be 40,000 too, and now where's that one? Yeah. So
Blazer EV, same thing. All closed off at the show. Couldn't get into it. It's the same one we've been seeing. The Silverado EV, I saw that exact truck at that show last year. Nothing's changed. Nothing. Like, yes, they are in a pickle with production on their EV side of things, but their gas side of things is finally, all my lots around town are filling up, and I love it. It's nice seeing full lots again, and that really means the return of a buyer's market where you really can haggle and at least pay sticker instead of
at minimum. At minimum, you know, GM with their CEO, you know, she went all in with EVs, and if they don't get them out by 25, there may be a new CEO coming up.
So it'll all be interesting to see how the next few years play out for them all. But I'm interested to see how that's my big thing, is how these rivalries continue to play out. And, you know, I'll bring him up again. General Motors Jeff was teasing, and I believe Motor Trend was the one that shared the story, that GMC and Chevy are toying with asteroid and meteor editions of their full-size trucks. And if that is true, if we have a Raptor and TRX competitor in something that is named after killing off the dinosaurs, I am here for it all day long. So that's what I want to see.
Just give us a Chevrolet version. We don't need a GMC version. Just a Chevy, just a low number vehicle. I'd be happy.
Yeah. So that's what I like to see. I love to see these rivalries. I like to see these brands egg each other on. And yeah, the naming of them, like the TRX, some people just straight call them the T-Rex. They don't even attempt anything else. All the Easter eggs with the T-Rex eating the Velociraptor under the hood. I'm here for that all day long. So, yes, if General Motors actually rolls out with Meteor and Asteroid, yes, I am here for it all day.
Look what that did for Ford. They had to put a V8 back in a Raptor. Mm-hmm. Which, that was just, they had to.
They will say it was in production. You know, yeah. You can say whatever you want, but perception is reality. And competition is a good thing. It's a good thing for everybody. And so I'm here for it. Well, sir, it has been great talking to you. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I know we talked a lot before the show, at the show. I'm looking forward to covering events again with you in the future. I know you're going to miss our next big Texas Auto Writers event, but hope to catch you at the fall event where we'll be doing some off-roading again.
If there's trucks, I'm definitely going to be there. The car event one for me, if there's something super fun that like just I want to drive. But fortunately for my channel, cars don't really move the needle as much. But yeah, so Surma, they're going to do a lot of fun rides in East Tennessee. There's the Tail of the Dragon. It's probably something you might want to because it's like 300 turns and like 12 miles or something. It curves. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. So they asked me and Kelly to be on the board of that. So,
there you go.
Yeah. So that's kind of crazy, but no, we have a lot of fun coming up. I've got Corey, I have my first minivan video drops in the morning. So, we did the Carnival or the Kia Carnival. Mm-hmm. And I have to watch saying that because in Nashville, there's a dealership called Carnival Kia.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It made that video a lot of fun trying to not mess that up. But Kelly was so wanted to do a video on this minivan, and we had a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, we will be road tripping a minivan for the second half of Route 66 this summer to celebrate the centennial of the Mother Road. So there's a lot of minivan love over here at GT Garage Talk, and
nice.
I'm looking forward to your Carnival video for sure. But where can our listeners find you if they hadn't already?
If they go to allterrainnation.com, that will lead you everywhere. We're on YouTube, mostly YouTube, but we're about to revamp the website and start having some news articles and stuff there. But they want to go over to All Terrain Nation. We cover a lot of heavy with trucks. We're enthusiasts of the Ford Bronco, so we do a lot of aftermarket stuff with that truck. And just adventures. We'll be in Colorado this summer adventuring in that thing. So
enjoy. It sounds like a lot of fun. I know y'all have done the off-rodeo and had a lot of fun with your long-term rig. So looking forward to seeing more content from y'all.
Well, I appreciate you having me on, Corey.
Yep. And there you have it. If you want to go hear, see more from David and Kelly from their time at the show, go hit them up at allterrainnation.com. You can go check out their YouTube channel. They've got a lot of fun stuff out there. I know David and I were talking a little bit off the record. He does 3 live shows a week. So if you are into live entertainment that you, the audience, can interact with the show itself, I've been on his show a few times. It's a blast. It's a whole lot of fun. And he's got a good group of participants in his audience over there. So definitely good stuff. I know their 2 long-term vehicles over there are the Jeep Gladiator and the Ford Bronco. They've got a lot of content on that. And as we discussed, he's got some reservations out on some upcoming vehicles. He's really salivating over the Ranger Raptor. We're still waiting on the Ranger Raptor, but I'm really liking how that midsize segment is shaping up. I know we talked in the episode about how rivalries are making the current situation of the auto industry, a very fun one to watch. But again, go hit him up at All Terrain Nation. And as for us, you know you can find everything we do at gtgaragetalk.com. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, everything is at GT Garage Talk. Until next time, gearheads, bye.